Children, praise the Lord. Bless you. It's good to have you in the service. I just want to briefly talk about the watchman. The watchman. Now, we read the passage, Ezekiel 33, verses 1 to 11. And that passage talks about, you know, it starts by saying, Son of man. Son of man, you know, I've set you as watchman and all. There's a group here in Leicester that they call themselves the watchmen. And what this group, I think for the past, if I'm correct, they've been, for the past several decades, they've been praying for Leicester. It's essentially, it's a prayer group. They come together, they pray for Leicester. I think they meet almost every week or something. They call themselves the watchmen. I know one of the men, and he's an 80-something-year-old man. I think that in itself should be a challenge for us. If it's just the old people that are praying and upholding Leicester in prayers, we, the young folks, we have a lot to do. Amen. There's something that the Lord has been laying on my heart, I think for a week, over a week now, and that's what I'm going to share with us. So I said, we're going to talk about the watchman. But in thinking about the watchman, it's also thinking about ourselves as Christians and having the lifestyle of a Christian. We talk about the Christian lifestyle, but what is that Christian lifestyle? What is a lifestyle? A lifestyle is a manner of living that reflects values and attitudes. So if you think about your lifestyle as a Christian, what is your manner of living? What values are you reflecting? What attitudes do you present? Not just within the four walls of the church, but in everything, in every way, in every place you find yourself. Unfortunately, a lot of us as Christians, I think the issue is that we compartmentalize our lives. So our life in church is quite different from our life outside the church. How many people have heard this phrase before? If not that I was a Christian. You know, if not that I'm a Christian. You know, there's some things that, man, I'll do. Or, you know, there's a way, you know, I would have. Thank God for Christ. If not for Christ. If you're not a Christian, what would you be? You are a Christian. But what values, what attitudes do you portray? So those around you, those that see you, whether in primary school, in your classes in primary school, in secondary school, in your workplaces, in your neighborhood, in the universities, what do they, you know, do they know you're a Christian? Does your lifestyle, does it reflect the values and attitudes of Christ? Amen. It's just a few words of reflection that we really need to think about. And I believe that the Lord is speaking to us. Can we open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 2? Philippians 2, 5 to 8. As I said, it's a short word for us, but I know that God is speaking to someone. Philippians 2, 5 to 8. Because we call ourselves Christians, and because we're Christians, we are meant to be Christ-like. We're going to read three verses there. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was the mind that was in Christ Jesus? It said, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no repute, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So what is this mind of Christ? There are three things that stand out in that passage, talking about the mind of Christ that Paul was encouraging the people of Philippi to have. He said, have the mind of Christ. Let the mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Three things that stand out there. One was humility. Chimiru, what was the first thing I mentioned now that stand out? Three things that stand out. I said one. Did anyone hear me? Tony Ini, what is it? Humility. Thank you. Two, service. Two, service. Talking about the mind of Christ and the way Christ went about these things. Humility, service, obedience. Humility, service, obedience. Now, if we say we should have the mind of Christ, are we humble? Are we humble? Talking about the values and attitudes of a Christian. Are we humble in the things we do, in the things we say, in how we conduct ourselves, in how we comport ourselves? Do we have a heart of service? Praise the Lord. Are we obedient to the word of God? When the word comes to us, do we obey? I was at a program last week, and I was asked that, what, you know, if I was to, you know, encourage the young folks there, that what would I say? And I said that, essentially, I'll just tell them that they should not be conformists, but they should be transformers. Praise the Lord. And you think about Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. We probably all know it. It says that I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we need to have our minds renewed to be transformed so that we can prove God's perfect will. But verse 1 says that we should present our bodies, that it's our reasonable service. Some versions says your reasonable act of worship. Some versions said, which is your reasonable act of worship, your reasonable service. So in giving ourselves to God in our worship, that is service. That is a service to God. But do we stop there or should we stop there? No. It has to go beyond that. It's not enough for us to come to church on Sundays, to come for the midweek services, to worship God. I was sharing with the ministers yesterday, and for some of us, we're in a position where, like Joshua, we say that as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And once myself and my household are serving the Lord, that is fine. But that is not what God wants from us. Praise the Lord. You know, if you read that, Ezekiel 33. You notice the thing. What version did you read? Sorry? Easy to read. An interesting one. Easy to read version of the Bible. But it was interesting. Essentially, you see a picture where a watchman is appointed. Who's a watchman? A guard. A watchman is a guard. A watchman is a lookout. So someone that is on the lookout, making sure that if danger is coming, if there are, you know, the enemies are coming, he gives advance warning. He gives notice to the people of the city. All right, there's a problem coming. There's an issue. Let's deal with it. And God's word was saying, I've appointed you a watchman. Now, if the watchman sees the enemy coming, and warns and does not warn, there's a problem. Because the enemy will come and will overtake, or the enemy will plunder. They will kill the people. They will sack the city. God said that for such a situation, it will require the blood of the people from the watchmen. But he said, if the watchmen hears that, okay, gives a word to the watchman. If the watchman communicates the word to the people, now the people have a choice. The word that is communicated to them, they can either accept or reject. If they accept, things will change for good. If they reject and they die, the watchman's hands are clean. If the watchman is given a word and the watchman doesn't share that word, you know, the person will die in their sin. But if that person dies in their sin, their sin as they're dead. But God said that it will require the blood from the hand of the watchman. Praise the Lord. So there's some things that we can say about the watchman. They're commissioned to keep an eye out for danger and to sound warnings. The watchman's responsibility is to hear from God and to warn the people. The watchman's responsibility is to hear from God and to warn the people. Now, it's not the watchman's responsibility to convince the people. So all the watchman does is, this is what God is saying. This is the word God has said. He doesn't have to convince them, but he's done his bit. However, he's accountable for whether or not he's obedient to the word of God given him. As a watchman, are we obedient to what God is saying to us or what word he has given to us? So that the watchman is expected to deliver the word as he heard it, not what people want to hear. So what is the word that God gave the watchman? Say to my people, it is well. He's saying the watchman shouldn't twist it, but should deliver the message as he hears it. Now, I want us to ask ourselves, how much of the watchman do we see in ourselves? Do we see ourselves as watchmen in this day and age? Because if we say that as children of God, as Christians, that have a commission, Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission, is the Lord Jesus Christ commissioned you, he commissioned me to do certain things, to go out, to preach the gospel to all nations, to make disciples, to teach in his name. He said, I will be with you always. But he's given you a task. He's given me a task. I'm a watchman. You're a watchman. What are we doing? Humility, service, obedience, worship. Fantastic. We're worshiping God in our own way. Are we? Thank God for your family, that every member of your family is saved. If Christ comes now, if the trumpet blows, as for me and my household, we're serving the Lord. But is that enough? It is not. It is not. Can we open our Bibles to same Ezekiel chapter 9? Ezekiel 9. I'll read from verse 4. I'll read very quickly, 3 verses. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of Jerusalem and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it. To the others he said, in my hearing, go after him through the city and kill. Do not let your high spear nor have any pity. Utterly slay old and young men, maidens and little children and women, but do not come near anyone on whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary, So they began with the elders who were before the temple. I was sharing with the ministers yesterday. I said, this passage for me, it's scary. It's scary because God was saying that, you know, there are abominations, there are things going wrong in the land, there are sins, all manners of things are being done in the land. And it was a vexation. It was really getting God upset and angry and annoyed that, you know, how can this continue for so long? And God commissioned a man. He said, go around. Everyone that is sighing, everyone that is not happy about the things that are going wrong, everyone, just to use the right words, he says, mark the foreheads of men who sigh and cry over all the abominations. Those that are crying, those who are praying, who are saying, God, how long will this continue? Lord, do something. He said, mark their foreheads. You know, mark them apart. And then he said, now another crop. Go out. Those that do not have the marks, kill them. Did he say just kill the old people? No. Did he say just kill the married folks? No. Did he say just kill, you know, ministers, pastors? No. Elders? No. Old, young, maidens, children. No exception. In fact, it says, utterly slay old and young men, maidens and little children, and women, but do not come near anyone who has the mark. Who are those that are spared? Those who are sighing, who are crying concerning the land, those who are praying, who are standing by God's word, those who cannot stand what God cannot stand, those who are not tolerating what God doesn't tolerate, those who have not become complacent, those who are not saying, well, it doesn't affect me. After all, I'm not part of it. It's all well and good. But those who see sin as sin, those who cannot stand sin. I think we need to ask ourselves, have we become tolerant of sin? Have we become tolerant of what God doesn't like in the name of, well, everybody's doing it now. So long as a Christian, I'm not doing it, that's fine. If that's where we are, there is an issue. There is a big problem. If we're tolerant of what God cannot stand, I pray that, you know, we will not fall foul of God. I pray that you will not fall foul of God. If you don't know what I mean, I pray that God will not, you not be in a position where God will look at you and say, you know, just go away from me because you're a worker of iniquity. Even if you're praying and you're that, God wouldn't look at you and say, you know, I've had enough of you. May God not have enough of us. Praise the Lord. It's not about us. You know, in Sunday school, we're looking at Psalm 127. The first verse of that Psalm 127 says that unless the Lord builds the city, they labor in vain. Those that are building it, they're laboring in vain. And it says, unless the Lord keeps the city, the watchmen, they just stay awake in vain. So it is not, we know that by our strength, we can't do it. But we need to make a conscious choice, a conscious decision to do God's will, to abide by His will, to do His word. We say it week in, week out, day in, day out. We need to let our lifestyle, the attitudes, the values that we claim, that we profess, we need to demonstrate it. We need to let our light shine forth. I was talking to my wife during the weekend. We were talking about how as Christians, we keep so much to ourselves, and some of the things we're encouraging ourselves to do, they should be our nature. I'm refraining from saying second nature, but they should be our primary nature. So there was a case of a student that wrote a dissertation and wrote his lecturer to thank her and say, you know, thanks for everything. I'm going to be submitting my dissertation, final year dissertation, but I'm going to go to the mosque to go and pray for special blessings on my dissertation before submission. He wasn't saying it to get an applause, but that was who he was. That was what he does. It wasn't going out of his way to make a point of it. That was what came naturally to him. There was another case of a Muslim guy that, you know, was going out with a colleague. They were going to go on a journey. And the first thing he did was to pray. Going for a journey. Irrespective of the colleague or the belief, the faith of the colleague. Now they do the Bismillah. He did that. And committed the journey he was going on. But we were, too, you know, we're Christians. We're very shy. There was a case of someone that bought a car and got a new house. And he traveled to another city, going to the temple, to go and get special blessings for what God has done. Which God? He wasn't a Christian. But my point is, we as Christians, what is our lifestyle like? Are we truly watchmen? I think this is my charge for us this afternoon. I pray that beyond the word that I've shared, that the Holy Spirit will speak to us and it will make clear to us what he's expecting of us. It shouldn't just be about me, myself, and I. He has called me. He has called you to way much more than that. He didn't just call you to come and worship him, but to serve him. What does that service entail? Shall we pray? You've heard the word this afternoon. I don't know what situation you find yourself. I don't know where your heart in your relationship with him. But do you have that mind of Christ? A mind that is totally sold out. Sold out to God. A mind of obedience. A mind of submission. A mind of service. Jesus Christ himself, he said, I must do the works of him that has called me while it is yet day. Because the night is coming when no one will be able to work. There's going to come a time when nobody is going to be able to do anything. Are you doing what God has called you to do, even at the daytime? Are you even clear of what God is calling you to do? Do you have a relationship with him? If there's anyone here that is yet to have that personal relationship with him, to accept Christ as his Lord and Savior, all that we've said so far doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference. In the first place, you need to have that relationship. If you're here and you're yet to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're yet to form that relationship with all eyes closed. Can I just show of hands and I'll pray with you? It is important to have that relationship because a time is coming when each and every one will be accountable for every action, for every inaction. Or perhaps you find it challenging to do his will. Perhaps you find it challenging, the word that is given to you. You struggle to communicate, to share. Just a show of hands, and I'll pray with you. You know what God has been saying to you. But to communicate it, to share it, can be a challenge. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, even as your son Paul said, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. My Father, my God, I pray that we will not be ashamed of your gospel. We will not be ashamed of you. That will not deny you in our ways, in our actions, in the mighty name of Jesus. But Lord, as we go forth, Lord, we will live the life of Christ. We will live a life of service. We will humble ourselves before you. We will be obedient to your leading, to your will and your way. This is our heart's cry, O God. Let it be so, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen in Jesus' name.